Hour number two of Caroline, Willie, and D. Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick and Derek Mason here with you today. Caroline filling in the afternoon show this afternoon for Jarrett. And, of course, our show brought to you by the new Zen Sports Sportsbook, the only sportsbook in Tennessee with a cash rewards program. So betting just got better. Download today. As we promised earlier, we're going to, you know, this is, we're starting to enter into that time for both the football season and the hockey season where the off-season stuff is over and the countdown begins. Things get a little quiet, but there's still some big moves out there in the NHL that we think are going to happen in the coming weeks. Sort of that those last few big things that could set the dominoes for training camp here in a couple of months. But Nashville has been very, very busy, as all of you know. Dave Pota is with the fourth period. You could probably see him sometimes on NHL Network. If you listen to NHL Radio on Sirius XM, you hear him a lot on there. Happy to have him with us today because he has been coming with the info here recently, and he's got one in particular that has got the attention of Predators fans. David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, David, let's get right to it. People have been certainly trying to keep up with Barry Trotz. He is clearly wanting to make some changes. He has hired Andrew Brunette. He has cleared the decks of a lot of players. He's been busy in free agency. But you have brought up one more big piece that that might be out there in Brett Pesce. First, tell people why Brett Pesce, such a good defenseman, might be on the trade block for the Carolina Hurricanes.
Well, you know, the Hurricanes their defensive arsenal is pretty stacked, and they're in the process right now of doing one of two things. One, either trying to free up some space. They are going to acquire Tony DeAngelo from the Philadelphia Flyers, and Philly's retaining half of that contract. That's expected to go down tomorrow based on a technicality with respect to salary cap and CBA. That can't happen until tomorrow. So July 8th is when that's expected to go down. That further deepens their blue line. Brett Pesce and the Hurricanes have not had the greatest of contract discussions. He's got 1 year left. They tried working out an extension and hasn't gotten there. Doesn't sound like Carolina wants to give him too much term. So they're exploring their options out there to see what's available. They're also, on top of it all, if that wasn't enough, they're also trying to acquire Erik Karlsson from the San Jose Sharks in a much larger, more complex deal. So Brett Pesce is out there. There have been a number of teams that have been circling in on him, and Nashville is one of them. They have expressed interest in him. I do not believe yet that they've asked for permission to speak with his agent about an extension, but there is definitely interest there. Brett Pesce has a 15-team trade list as part of his contract. Nashville is one of the teams already on that list, so they wouldn't need further approval for that to go down. But the Preds definitely interested in Brett Pesce, and I could certainly see that being, if they could pull it off, a long-term fit as well.
Just give me your first take when you saw or you started getting the vibe that the Predators were interested. I envision Brett Pesce a right-hand shot. And, of course, we've watched Brett Pesce pretty closely. The Predators played the Hurricanes in that shortened season. They were in the same division, so they played eight times in the regular season, then a really tough first-round matchup that went six games, a bunch of overtime games. So we got a good look at Brett Pesce in this market. It would appear to be a really good stay-at-home partner for a guy like Roman Josi. So it looks like a fit. I can see the reason why there would be some interest there.
Well, absolutely. Yeah, he is a prototypical stay-at-home, shutdown type of defenseman that a lot of teams, I mean, I think every team in the league would love to have that caliber of a player. Coincidentally, by the way, Pesce and Josi share the same agent. So there could be some familiarity there if things do progress. But you're right, that caliber of player, let Yost handle the offensive side of the game, and he can hold down the fort within his own zone to help bail out Saros or whomever. So it really strengthens the D-core significantly. Now, they do have a lot of blue liners on that back end, and I've got to envision that either in this deal or there might be a subsequent move to potentially move somebody else out, whether that's, we heard Dante Fabro's name around trade deadline and things along those lines. So there could be a few moving pieces here when all is said and done, if this does get to the finish line. But bringing in this type of a player, along with the fact that they signed Luke Shen as well, really shows to me that Barry wants to make sure that this D-core is as strong as it can be for not only you know, those purposes, but also to help out the goaltending and then let the offense do its thing up front.
So what do you think the probability is that Pesce will get dealt to somebody, or how much does it have to do with whether they end up with Erik Karlsson or not? Because that's another big domino, you would think, is where does Karlsson end up?
Right. Yeah, and Carolina and Pittsburgh are the two teams that are right in mix, you know, for him. And my understanding is Karlsson submitted a list of teams he would approve a trade to. He's got a full no-movement clause. Submitted a list of teams he would accept a trade to on the first. And both of those teams are on it. And it sounds, and there were a few others that have been poking around, Seattle, Toronto, and a couple others, but it sounds like right now anyway, it's still down to Carolina and Pittsburgh, see if they can pull something off here. With the decor that they've got, having signed Dmitry Orlov to a two-year deal, bringing in Tony DeAngelo tomorrow, the likelihood that, or not, I shouldn't say likelihood, but there's pretty good chance. I mean, they're pursuing Karlsson, so the potential of that happening. Whether that happens or not, though, there's still about eight NHL-caliber defensemen deep on that decor in Carolina. So it makes things easier from a cap perspective to move his $4 million cap hit out in order to bring on somebody like Erik Karlsson. San Jose is likely to retain around $3 million wherever he ends up. So you're probably looking at an $8.5 million player against your cap if you bring in Erik Karlsson. So you're kind of cutting that in half if you do move Pesce out, and it's primarily a futures type of exchange. It sounds like that may happen regardless of whether or not they bring in Erik Karlsson. They could hold on to him, let the season play out. But as I said, contract negotiations haven't gone as great as perhaps Pesci's camp would have liked. It sounds like they're zeroing in on a shorter term deal, whereas he's looking for a little bit longer. We'll obviously keep monitoring that, but it makes things easier in terms of a Karlsson acquisition, but I don't think that's the end all be all as to why they're doing that. They just have way too many defensemen now.
Dave Pagnotta is with us from thefourthperiod.com. Dave, one more before Derek asks you maybe some more big picture stuff about what you think of the Predators' moves here. But on Pesce, how many other teams do you think are in this boat? Because as you said, he's got a big no-trade team list, so you can cross off almost half the league with that. And then how many other teams have the interest? Because I look at a market, Nashville's got some cap space to work with. They've got some assets they can trade. That might lower a list where normally a guy like Pesce would have a ton of teams that would be interested in it.
Right. And yeah, the salary cap, that pesky cap, only going up $1 million for this season. It's made things difficult league wide. I mean, next year it's looking at like $4, $5, $6 million. It might jump, and that'll give everybody a lot of breathing room. But yeah, a lot of teams are hamstrung right now. Nashville does have, I think they're one of the teams with the most amount of space. I know Seattle is in the mix. They have a lot of cap space as well. They're interested. Winnipeg, same boat. They're also interested. Ottawa too. Toronto as well, poked around. Now, of those teams that I just mentioned, I'm not sure which ones are on his trade list and which one aren't, outside of what I mentioned previously. Nashville is on his trade list, so no worries there. And actually, Toronto is not. So if something were to happen there, that would take a little bit of convincing, would be my guess. As far as the other teams, Seattle, Winnipeg, Ottawa, I'm not sure, but there are teams, and including these ones, that have poked around. So Carolina has options, but from what I've been hearing, it sounds like things have gone a little bit further along with the Preds, and obviously we'll wait to see if they can get to that finish line.
Now, Dave, with all the moves that the Predators have made, and it started way before the season ended.
Right.
You know, it started at the trade deadline, them trading away, you know, guys that have been critical to some success that they've had. And then, you know, they bring young players up. They end up firing their coach, a month or two after the season, heading into the draft, Molendijk, Wood. They get O'Reilly, Nyquist, and Sheen, trade away Duchesne and Johansson. Is this team right now, do you feel they are a better team because of all of that? And when I mean better, are they a playoff team, you believe, this season?
I think they're in a position. I mean, I would like to see this team address their offense a little bit more. I think that's, I mean, even with, you know, Forsberg leading the charge, and even with the addition of Ryan O'Reilly up front and Nyquist, I'd like to see them add a little bit more if they can, easier said than done. But if they can, up front in their top six, defensively and goaltending wise, this is a sound team. Like they are strong. If they were to add Pesci or somebody like him, makes them that much stronger. But defensively on the back end and in net, this is a really, really good team from that part down. Offensively, I think they need a bit of a boost. Look, this is a team right now that I think is positioned to compete for a wild card position in the West. If they can add to the offense a little bit more, I think that gives them a better opportunity to add. But again, you're getting like Ryan O'Reilly, certainly motivated to join the club. Gustav Nyquist, a bit of a down year a little bit, but on a less team, a less qualified team, talented team that he was with this past season. So you're going to get a rejuvenated offensive type of player. I think they just need to address that a little bit more if they can. And I know that's, outside of the Pesci stuff, I know that's certainly something that Barry Trotz would like to do. Mm-hmm.
Now, did you ever buy into this whole, trading UC Soros to get another big name player? Because right. The way I look at it is, UC is like a quarterback. If you have one of the great ones in the game, why even venture down that road?
Right. And I think, and I've reported this before, that L.A. was very much interested during the season in UC Soros. And there have been other teams that have been poking around. But that's more those teams trying to push the envelope a little bit. Like, this wasn't Nashville saying, all right, UC Soros is available, give us your best offer. But that didn't occur. But there were other teams, and L.A. was aggressive. I certainly, according to the people I've talked to during the season and going into the summer, they were definitely aggressive in trying to make something happen. Nashville held firm. Exactly to your point. It's like the quarterback. He's leading the way with this club. And when you've got one of the top premier goaltenders, it's great. You get a great package back, but who's going to play net? So, kind of a tough situation to be in from that perspective. But at the same time, there wasn't really any, and there hasn't really been any motivation to move Soros unless you're getting a deal that you absolutely – it's impossible to say no to, and that hasn't happened. And quite frankly, I don't suspect that will happen, especially not this coming season.
David, before we let you go, one more on Pesci that I thought of is what do you think Carolina would be looking for? Thinking, okay, we're not going to be real to sign him, but this is a really, really good player. This is one of our linchpin guys for, five straight solid years. We have that just, stifling defense that Carolina plays. So what would it take to get him? Like, we know the Predators have the cap space. They also have a lot of draft picks. They're building up a pretty good prospect system. So what kind of package are you looking at?
Well, so I'll answer this in two different ways. So one, it depends on if this is an insulated deal, it's Carolina, Nashville. There's nothing else to the equation. In that respect, you're probably looking at primarily futures from the sounds of things, because they want to have a little bit of cap flexibility themselves to add in other areas. So you're probably looking at a primarily a package that involves futures. So high draft picks and prospects. If it's part of the equation to an Erik Karlsson acquisition, and one of the things I had heard was whatever assets they would bring in via the a Pesci deal would be coupled with what else they would add to get Karlsson out of San Jose, then that changes things a little bit. I do know the Sharks have had interest in Dante Fabbro going back to last season. So there could be a possibility here where you're moving Pesci to one location, you're bringing in Fabbro and let's say a high draft pick, and then you're utilizing those assets as part of an overall package to send to San Jose. I'm speculating a little bit here because I don't know the dynamics of what could take place. I'm not part of those calls, but I can try to piece the leaves together here, knowing that San Jose had interest in Fabbro going into the season, knowing that Nashville and Carolina are talking about a potential Pesci deal. It wouldn't shock me to see some type of dynamic there work out if the end result for Carolina is getting Erik Karlsson.
Interesting stuff to think about for sure. So we should be paying attention to Karlsson, Pesci, and the Carolina Hurricanes over these next few days. David, great insight. Thank you for joining us today. I know you've been really, really busy. I heard you on NHL radio this morning, so I don't know how many more you got lined up. You're probably going on a Carolina station or a San Jose station later today, but the great work.
Awesome. Thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. That's David Pagnotta. Check him out on thefourthperiod.com. He's got some great stuff there. And, of course, if you listen, you're going to hear him. He's got some great insight here on what's coming.